Okay, thank you very much, and I want to thank the organizers also for inviting me to give this talk here today. I think it's working, yes. So, well, the title is here, so nothing to say. Just, well, this is a joint work with Carla Simón, and well, in who was my advisor. I indeed, this talk is about part of my PhD thesis. At the end of the talk, I will give some, if I have time, I want to give some ideas about four-dimensional maps, but most of the talk will be about area-preserving maps, so two-dimensional case. Okay, so let's start then. We consider a one-parameter family of area-preserving maps having an elliptic fixed point at the origin, so you know that typically when you move parameter, multiplier at the elliptic fixed point changes, and then resonant change. So each time it crosses a rational number, it appears a resonant change of islands. So assume that we are interested in the dynamics close to the QM resonant island, which is maybe this one, islands, resonant islands. So we write the multiplier in this form, and then we write the family as F delta. So we are dealing with our one-parameter family of area-preserving maps, real analytic. Everything will be analytic in this talk, and well, area-preserving, having an elliptic fixed point, and the multipliers are in that way. Okay. So what we want to do with this family of area-preserving maps, as I said, we want to describe the dynamics around the resonant chains of island, in particular around one of them, but we will consider also several of them. And we are especially interested in the dynamics in chaotic zones that can be of two types, maybe small chaotic zones that create the splitting of separatrices in the island, or maybe large due to the interaction of different chains of islands. So for instance, when you have the Virchow zones of instability, this is one example of a large chaotic zone. So in this work, we are interested in a topological, say, qualitative description, but not only on this, we want quantitative information on the phase space and on, I don't know, everything you can say, but measuring things. So, for instance, we are not interested in saying, okay, we have an island. We want to say, have an island of this size, with this chaotic zone, that is of this size, and everything, something like this. We will see many examples. Okay, so, and the general strategy we use is what we consider classical strategy. So, Virchow normal form, derived in Hamiltonian, and then get some models and use these models. So, just to fix ideas, an example of this kind of parameters could be, one parameter family, could be the Henon map, which depends on one parameter, you know. This is the phase space of this map, this is the one, the parameter here is 0.21, something like this, I don't remember exactly. So you have here the 1 to 5 resonant island, and this map has two fixed points. One is the elliptic fixed point, and the other is more or less over here, over there. And this is hyperbolic, and so on. So just to fix ideas, you can consider this. We will show many pictures related to this family later. Okay. So let me start then. The first thing I want to do is to construct a good model to describe dynamics in the phase space around the resonant chain of islands. Okay. So to start with, as I said, first consider Virchow normal form around the elliptic fixed point. This is well known, nothing to say. So the Virchow normal form can be written in this way. This is what is between the parentheses and near identity map. And gamma r is something that can be written in such form. Vi are the so-called Virchow coefficients, so keep in mind this notation, because later it will appear. And okay, this is something that is well known. So you know that when you have a near identity map, you can interpolate, and then this is what we do in this slide. You can interpolate the map and construct if the map is area preserving or symplectic in particular. The vector field is Hamiltonian, and it's the sum of a non resonant part plus a resonant part. Here you have the definition: the non resonant part is just the rotation, and the resonant part is just the effect of the resonance. So this cosine is here. Okay. So, and this turns out that this the vector field, the time one map of the vector field interpolates the near identity map in a suitable domain containing the resonance from the origin, and a suitable domain around the origin containing the resonance. Okay, that's the idea. So this is well known. And using this Hamiltonian, you can easily describe the dynamics in this ball where it works. And in particular, you can say that, well, if this condition holds, V1 and delta is less than zero, then this island appears in the phase space. If not, you don't have this island, something very well known. You can say, okay, the island has this shape, which is slightly, it's not symmetric. This has some consequences. And the hyperbolic points are a little bit located closer to the elliptic point, the elliptic fixed point at the origin. And the elliptic are farther. And okay, and moreover, the width of this resonance, measured in terms of the Hamiltonian, of course, is of the order of the delta, of order delta. This is the Birkhoff coefficient, this is not. So the Birkhoff coefficient is considered to be order one in delta. Okay, so when I have an island like this, which is like this one, it's a magnification, let's say, of this island, I will say, I will speak about the outer part of the, or outer splitting of the island when I refer to this region close to P, and the inner part close to Q. So outer means farther from the origin, inner means closer to the origin. Okay, is it clear? Good. So next step is, okay, I have my Hamiltonian describes the dynamics in this big domain around the elliptic fixed point, but it's too complicated, and I'm interested in the QEM resonance, so I can localize my Hamiltonian around here and maybe get a simple model. So this is what we do. And you introduce new coordinates around the annular region containing the QEM resonance, you get this model, which is just to think. I mean, if you put C and D equal to zero, C and D are small parameters, and if you put C and D equal to zero, this is the classical pendulum as you expect. D is order delta m four minus one, so it's larger than C, and has the effect of this non-symmetry in the in the pendulum shape, okay? So C is not very important, but, well, it's only for some technical reason later, I don't know, maybe it will appear later, okay? And under using this Hamiltonian and so on, we are able to prove something, to describe the behavior of the splitting of separatrices, the outer splitting and the inner splitting of separatrices in the resonant chain of islands. To do this, I need some, just let me mention before that this was published some years ago. And in this paper, now I'm going to consider just generic resonances, but low order resonance also are in that paper, so, okay. So I want to describe the theorem about the splitting of separatrices. These are the assumptions, but before describe the assumptions, let me just show the theorem. The theorem states the following, is that under these assumptions that are generic, I will come back in a minute, the outer splitting is larger than the inner one, and you can measure the difference of the splitting by the location of the singularities of a suitable of the separatives of the suitable Hamiltonian that I showed before, more or less, okay? So, but what is important to keep in mind is that the outer splitting is larger than the inner one, generically, okay? And no one of them oscillates, and this is where the C plays a role, okay? That C that I showed before plays a role here, but only here, okay? So let me go back to the hypothesis, and, okay, the first one states that the Birkhoff coefficient does not vanish for delta equal to zero. This is a very generic situation, so nothing to say. The third one says that, okay, if you have a family that has some singularities but remain at a finite distance when delta goes to zero, this does not mind because when I rescale something, it goes to infinity or it goes very far from the interesting zone, so I don't care. But there is another, the important assumption here is assumption two, which describes, what is this assumption? Let me just say something. Okay. Let me consider the gamma t is here the separatrix of the Hamiltonian flow. I showed before the Hamiltonian flow describing the dynamics here. And what it says, this assumption, it is too long to explain here, but what it says is that the distance between the invariant manifolds of the map is, I can control the distance in a suitable line close to the singularity, the closer singularity to the real line of time. here, I put a line here, and I want to control this distance between the separatrices in a suitable line that is at a distance of delta m over 4, I think, to the delta q here. Q is a suitable parameter, delta q to the singularity, okay? This is what it's saying. So I need to control this in a specific way. Details are here, and okay, I'm not interested now in the details, but keep in mind that what it says is under suitable generic assumptions, larger splitting is generically, the outer splitting is generically larger than the inner one. Okay? Good. So as I said, this theorem does not apply to the strong resonances because I'm using the Hamiltonian in a generic situation, but for instance, if you consider the 1 to 4 resonance of the Henon map, in this case, this is a degenerate 1-4 resonance, and the outer splitting is much larger than the inner one in that case. I will show later a picture also about this resonance. So, and moreover, this is a nice example because the inner splitting in this resonance also oscillates, so, which is curious. Okay. And it does not apply if the resonance is too far from the origin, no? I mean, this is I'm doing some kind of perturbation theory, so it holds in a red. No, if it's not too far, delta is not too large. Okay, and well, so but the what I want to discuss in this talk is which are the consequences in the width of the chaotic zones of this difference between the inner and outer splitting of the separatrices. Okay, good. So in this work that is here the reference, we consider three situations. We say open case, and for this situation that I will describe just in a moment, we use a universal retor map that is called the well-known separatist map. We also consider a figure 8 case that is to describe the dynamics in an independent-like resonant islands, and the model that we will use is the double separatist map, nothing strange. And also we consider also less richness of stability, and we introduce a model that is called the V-separatist map that, okay, is not a very good model in the sense that only provides us qualitative description of the dynamics, okay? But, okay, so let me start with the open case. So let me remove this. So we have the geometry is like the one shown in the picture. We have a hyperbolic point, we have the manifolds, intersect and create some splitting and so on, and here I have since it's elliptic I have rotational invariant curves. So this is the geometry, and it's open case because we are assuming that the other manifolds do not intersect, so there is no reinjection of the dynamics. Okay, so to describe the dynamics in the chaotic zone or close to the separatrices, it's useful to consider the separatrix map, which is a map describes the return to the fundamental domain, which contains one oscillation of the separatrices, let's say in that way. So, and this is the leading approximation of this map using the first harmonic or suitable first harmonic of the separatrices and so on is given by this formula, where it depends on two parameters, A and B, and B is 1 over log lambda. Lambda is the eigenvalue, the dominant eigenvalue of the hyperbolic point. And A is just a shift to B in the fundamental domain after one return, let's say. Okay? So we are dealing with an a priori stable case. I don't know how to mention this, but an a priori stable case, that means that that our eigenvalue here is 1 plus order epsilon. So log lambda is order epsilon, A is of this form, and the splitting of separatrices or the size of these lobes is exponentially small. Okay, and epsilon is a suitable here distance integrable. Okay, nothing to say. Well-known results here. So using this map, what we can say? We can say the following. First, we can measure the distance. Let's assume that this is the last invariant curve, whatever it means, last. Last invariant curve. So here we have the chaotic zone. Okay, so we can measure which is the distance from the separatrices to the last chaotic zone, so the last invariant curve, so the size of the chaotic zone, and is given by this formula here in the coordinates of the separatrix map. Here k star is the green value, and okay, you can go back to the original coordinates of your map, with Cartesian coordinates, and you can also measure this. Here appear some constants. L is the distance between the monoclinic points, and sigma is the angle of the splitting, and, well, everything can be computed, okay? I think that's all, no? Yeah, okay. So, and moreover, we can measure the distance from the separatrices to this last invariant curve in measuring the domain of the return map, but also we can transport this distance and measure it from the hyperbolic point, which is larger, which is pretty larger here. And okay, to do this, we use a Hamiltonian flow interpolating the map and transport this using this Hamiltonian. This is the idea. So if you do this using this Hamiltonian, which is the Fish Hamiltonian, this is a first order approximation, let's say, we get the result from this distance. Okay. Moreover, in the chaotic zone, there are, chains of islands, many chains of islands. And we can measure the distance from the separatrices to have the islands, which is smaller than to have Mariankov, of course, they are in the chaotic zone. And this distance is of this form, where k tilde is 2 over pi. This is measured in the coordinates of the separatrix map. Of course, you can do the same and go back to the original coordinates of your map and so on. So, and even more, we can even count the number of resonant chains of islands that we have between the separatrices and the last invariant curve, this curve, how many of chains we have. And this is given by this number. And this number is nothing strange. It's like the log of k tilde over k star or vice versa. I don't remember, but something like this. Okay? So we can say many things quantitatively. This is the idea. Okay, so just an example. This is the Henon map. This is the hyperbolic fixed point of the Henon map. Here we see this last invariant comfort that I mentioned, the end of the domain of stability, in some sense. And these are the chains of islands in the chaotic zone. And you can just look at the picture and measure the distance to have a curve. This is something like this. To have islands, this island is here, I think. Something like this. And using the Fish interpolator, you get this value. You can even improve the Hamiltonian and use a better Hamiltonian and get better results. Okay? That's the idea. So let us move to the second case. This is figure 8 case, so we are considering a pendulum-like resonant island, or if you want, you can think in a figure 8. So the model that we use to describe the dynamics in the chaotic zones is the double separatrix map. This is the formula. And okay, here new is a parameter that measures the ratio between the two splittings. Now we have something like this, no? And we have a splitting here, we have a splitting here. So new one measures the ratio between the difference. They are not equal, as I said before. So, well, okay, it's defined in suitable domains. Domains U and D are domains here and here, and so on. Okay? So let us describe the result we have using this double separatrix map. So for generic resonances, I'm in generic case, assume that we have the resonance, and that the hypothesis of the theorem concerning the difference between the inner and outer splitting of separatrices hold. And under this hypothesis, we can say that the width of the outer chaotic zones, that means the width of the chaotic zones here, measured here, this width in the inner part, this is the inner chaotic zone, this is the outer chaotic zone, okay? So the width of the outer chaotic zone is larger than the width of the inner one if this condition of B1 and B2 are the Birkhoff coefficients, so everything can be computed explicitly for a map or for whatever, if this condition holds. So, and moreover, both amplitudes are of the same order of magnitude of the outer splitting. And how we can prove this? Well, the idea is very simple, it's the same as before. Use a suitable Hamiltonian vector field that interpolates the map and measure the splittings in one side and the other and transport the size using this Hamiltonian. It's more or less the same idea as I explained it here. So it can be done in a first approximation using this ratio between the gradients of the Hamiltonian here, this is Jm, and this is Jm. Okay? So, okay. And for close to the origin resonances, this is close to one, so this is why they are more or less of the same order. So here I have an example. This is the Henon map. This is the 1-5 resonant of the Henon map, alpha 5.21. And I'm magnifying some a region like this. Okay? This is the square. So here I have the hyperbolic point, this point here, the green. And this is the chaotic zone that goes here and here and so on, okay? So what the theorem says that this chaotic zone here is of the same order as this one, as you can see, it's quite similar. And moreover, for this map, for this resonance, the outer splitting is of this order, the inner one is of this order. And you see that inside there is a very sharp form. This is due to this splitting, okay? Because we have invariant cores very close. Okay, good. Well, I'm not going to give details, but you can do the same for strong resonances. And here is an example, a very nice example of the 1-4 resonance of the Henon map, where you see that the chaotic zone in the inner part is much larger than the chaotic zone in the outer part. Okay, this is also some degeneracy, and in particular, you see that the inner splitting is 10^-54, the outer one is 10^-1. So it explains everything. Okay, finally, let me consider the last situation. I don't know how it works. Well, the situation is, well, I can draw the picture here. So what we want now is just, we deal with two chains of islands at the same time, and we want to describe dynamics in between. So maybe you have rotational invariant core, we can have islands in between, and so on. But this is what we want. Okay, so to describe these dynamics in between, we use a retour map, but this is a toy model, let's say. And the map we suggest is just a modification of the separatrix map that takes into account, this term. Well, you remove this term, this is the separatrix map. V1 is the 1 over log lambda, and lambda is the eigenvalue here, and mu is the eigenvalue here. And, yes? Sorry. Yeah, of course. Yeah, in this chain or in this chain. And D is the distance between the resonant chains of islands, okay? Using this model, we can describe when we expect to have a rotational invariant course, if this condition holds, in rotational invariant course in between, otherwise they are destroyed. And okay, well, you can say many things, but okay. So just an example, this is a toy model, but for instance, if you use the standard map and we use the main island of the standard map, that is periodic, so we have here the island and here a copy of the island. So in this case, we can say many things. For instance, for k equal to 0.16, we compute the parameters of the biseparatrix model, the splitting is of the order, distance is that one, and then it means that the d in the biseparatrix is this number, so we show the phase space for those values. And you see that, well, it agrees very well with the dynamics in between the islands. And moreover, we can even predict when this last rotational invariant curve is destroyed in this case, but only in this case, okay? So, last 5 minutes or something, I don't know how much time I have. 5 minutes. I want to give just a very preliminary results on the four-dimensional case. This is a work with Vasily Geisberg mainly, and now we are starting also with Ernest von Pick something. So the main goal is to get a qualitative, but also quantitative if possible, as before, description of dynamics in double resonances, and okay, as I said, preliminary results. Let me say something. In the preliminary steps of this, I want to thank also the contribution by Hembro in the preliminary steps of this work. Yeah, many discussions are here reflected. Okay, so. We consider a two-parametric family for the four-dimensional symplectic map. So delta is now a parameter, is a vector, R2. And we study the dynamics around a totally elliptic fixed point, so we have a fixed point at the origin. These are the eigenvalues, as before. It's the same situation, but with two frequencies now, okay? We denote the gamma, we'll denote the subgroup, the set of resonances. So this is the relation of resonance, the resonance relation. And we say that resonance, so K1, K2, verifying this condition, has order R if this is the total order, okay? So the elliptic fixed point might be of one of this type. I mean, it can be non-resonant, and these numbers are rational independent. It can be simply resonant, so one condition only holds, and there are two subcases which are in some sense similar, let's say. They are not equivalent, but they are similar. And it can be doubly resonant. In this case, we have two pairs, two solutions of this condition for alpha 1 and alpha 2 fixed. We have two K1, K2, and let's say K1 prime, K2 prime, okay? Conditions at the same time. So, and in this case, the angles are, the frequencies are rational. Alpha J are rational, okay? So we are interested in dynamics close to double resonances. So we assume that alpha j are the form, we unfold the double resonances, let's say. So we add delta j small, and we are close to double resonance. And we consider that the eigen values do not coincide. Okay? Good. So the first thing is, can we have, when you have rational frequencies, they generate a lattice of resonances. And how this lattice can be generated? So this is what we the question we address here. So let's consider R0 be the smallest non-trivial element of gamma. The gamma is the set of resonances. And R1 the smallest independent one. So it happens that R0 and R1 generate gamma, provided this condition, if we have only two frequencies. Yeah? If not, it's not true. But, okay, so we call R0 and R1 the primary resonances. Okay? We can define it in that way. And N sub j will denote the order of these primary resonances. Just a comment, the primary resonances are unique for most of the frequencies, but sometimes it's not. They are not really unique. So, and the non-uniqueness might happen at the leading order, or might happen at the order, leading order means N0 order, or might happen at the order N1. And here are two examples. For instance, for this frequency, you have N0 equal to 1 equal to 4, but there are three resonances at order 4, and any two resonances you pick up here generate. In this case, you have these frequencies, then the order, the leading order is 4, the order, the N1 is 5, there are one resonance at order 4, but two at order 5, and you can choose any two of them to generate the lattice, okay? But it's very simple, just a comment. So, and the next step is to classify the resonance we have by the primary resonance we have mentioned before. So, there are different situations. If we can have that both of them are different order, leading order, but greater than 5, we can have that both of the order are the same but greater than 5, or we can have cases where there are strong resonances, one of them less than 4, or the same order or different, or whatever, many combinations here. So, but these are the two double resonances we want to deal with, and this is the strongest case, this is the important case. So, because in this case, the normal form is integrable up to order n1 minus 1, let's say. And when you add the second order, it's just a perturbation. So, just to finish, okay? Just to finish, I want to say that we have considered the simplest case only, which is this case. And in this case, you can use normal form, the same strategy as I said before. Normal form, interpolating Hamiltonian, localization, and so on. And you get a Hamiltonian model around the double resonance, which is this one. Epsilon depends on the difference of between the orders of the resonances. This is important. And this is a very simple case because you have a normal hyperbolic Marian manifold. It's like an a priori stable case. We are in the same situation that explained it Amadeo this morning. So this is very simple. Well, just another comment is that, okay, the island has four fixed points. This Hamilton has four fixed points. One of them is elliptic elliptic, but for suitable parameters can become complex saddle, and this has some dynamical consequences that we want to analyze. It also has a slow fast structure that can be used and helps a lot to see, for instance, that this Hamiltonian is not integrable and that the splitting of separatrices of the hyperbolic point is order square root of epsilon. This helps a lot in showing this. So these are the kind of results we are looking at now. Okay? And that's all I want to say, so thank you for your attention.